Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Dr. Haleem Mustafa, also known as Haleem the Dream Builder, Dr. Self-Esteem, and welcome to Life Success Radio. Welcome to the future. Keep your head to the sky. This radio broadcast, blogcast, is sponsored by Reality Books, publisher of the American classic, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. This book is a book must read for all families, regardless of culture, color, economic status. It's about the history of America that made this country great, that will make it great again. It's very important that you understand the messages and the level of work that was occurring at the time period of just the transition out of slavery, in which Dr. Booker T. Washington had implemented a system that was working well to create job opportunities and to work in relation with sincere white people who want to see black people be successful. And today we need this more than any time. So I would recommend that you all listen to the advertisements during this broadcast and make a purchase, or make a purchase two, three, or four, and share it with your friends. So Life Success Radio, we have a motto, and the motto is, let's get serious and have a real conversation. Now, this evening, I am expected to have a young man on who called me yesterday, and I told him certainly call today, and he said he would call, and he's under 30, which fits the criteria of our Tuesday show. Our Tuesday show is EZ generation, like E as in Edward and Z as in zebra, and pronounced together EZ, and then generation, and the slogan is Smart Minds Making Waves to the Future. And this particular show, we address, I guess, really conversations that help young people, or help us old people understand young people. Because a lot of times, you know, I'd be thinking that I'd be understanding young people a lot, but I really don't. And so this is a way that helps me to help them, and it helps them to help me. Because young and old, we need to grow together. And, you know, so there's some things I could pass on that they can pass on. And so we have conversation on Tuesday where we actually interview someone from their generation. And that is a format that we've introduced now. And so we are really building it up where we'll have a schedule of speakers who are representative of the EZ generation. And so anyway, Monday, we had a show yesterday, Monday, And just a record, that show is headed as Senior Life Moments, like Senior Citizen Life Moments, which the motto is Wise Life Teachers. And the idea there is to make sure that senior citizens like me, we have somewhere to speak and talk and interact with young people and with the general audiences who might have concerns and discussions around the topics that that we bring up under that particular, title, Senior Life Moments. Now, we also have on Wednesday this show that is called Blessed to be Blessed, and the slogan is Miracle Warriors, Living the Dreams Without Excuses. And that Blessed to be Blessed is a combination that's not age-sensitive at all. It's wide open because there's young people who are very young that have overcome major situations, surgery and other kind of life and death matters, that certainly have things that they can express under the idea of blessed to be blessed. So both business, personal, whatever the topic of a person would bring, we look forward to that being a part of this regular program. So I'm just going to mention a little bit about tomorrow before I go into discussion on today's topic of Easy Generation, right? Smart minds making waves to the future. Wednesday is going to be a very interesting show. I've been talking with a lot of people today regarding the focus of tomorrow's show is going to be on parenting, and it's very I think it's very hypercritical that we as Black people, we need to figure out how we can raise our children so they can become true assets instead of liabilities for us because of certain behaviors. So tomorrow I would suggest you tune in. We have a guest, Leonard Scott from Las Vegas, and he will be speaking, interviewed by me. And he is very, very knowledgeable about parenting as he has raised his own. So that's tomorrow will be a special activity. Now, today, interesting. All right, let's see what happened today. I was riding bus, had some business to take care of downtown Houston, and I ran into a guy who was an African-American Christian minister. And so in any event, we started talking a bit, and I told him I'm blessed, and he says, good luck. I said, I'm blessed, but he said, good luck. I said, first of all, I don't believe in good luck. I'm saying I'm blessed, and he didn't even have the courtesy to say something like, you know, be blessed. So he's still thinking, you know, I know my Muslim name probably threw him off, but that's okay. I need to say this because I forgot to make an opening prayer, and that really helps to ground me in this presentation that we're preparing for. So let me say this opening prayer in Arabic and English, and please join with me if you will. If not in audible, in the silent transmission of your thoughts, your thoughts of power and love. Okay, so in Arabic, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Ar Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. In Arabic, from Arabic to English, I give you the English translation. It says, I seek refuge with God from the curse of devil Satan. With the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, praise be to God, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, thee alone do we pray. Show us a straight way, the way on those who thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and who go not astray in their service to you. Amen. 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 Let it be so. So, in any event, that's the opening prayer from the Quran. Just information for those who might wonder. So, again, we are Life Success Radio, and we welcome you to the future, and we ask you to keep your head to the sky for the clouds to tell you why you're here on this journey of life, so you can become an asset for your people, for our community. And I'm talking African-American community specifically, and in general, humanity. But until we do something specifically as a people, we will not make any contributions to anyone else. People don't really need us. We really need them more than they need us. But if we ever put ourselves together, we wouldn't need anyone but just God, because we have everything it takes to be independent. In this country, we have good thinking minds. We have $4 trillion GNP, gross national product, or spending power, GSP, gross spending power, and then we have like 1.4 trillion in gross national product that we actually command. So that would make us like the top 10 of countries in the world, if you measure all the country with the United Nations. So we need to think about that as a people and start doing something independently so we can help ourselves, so other people can take us off of their welfare grid. Because automatically they just think that black people have such low self-esteem with no ambition that everybody black, is stereotyped as being, dope addicts, alcoholics, people who are, no scrutiny about just, doing any kind of thing. And it's really something that is quite alarming if we understand that the behavior that is projected against us is really the haters projecting their own mess on us to destroy our momentum as we are rising to the fight of freedom, right? So, and this is something that we need to be aware of, and I have to mention this every time I'm available to the public, is that these tendencies and behaviors is something caused by white supremacy and racism here in America as a primary source, at least for me in America. Now, over in Russia and other countries, that might be a different thing. The racism exists, but it probably is not as vicious as American racism. Unfortunately, let me say this. In other countries, they didn't have as much history of slavery. The worst slavery system in the world was here in America, and it's the biggest Holocaust in the world, and certainly the largest in America, and it's the American Holocaust, I call it. It's the American Holocaust that destroyed our ancestors being stolen from Africa and brought here and totally erased of our culture. And so some people would make you believe that the Jewish Holocaust is the only Holocaust, but the Jewish Holocaust is it happened, sure, just like where the American Holocaust happened. But the idea is one says that X number of people got killed. I think it was 6 million for the Jews. And in Africa, American, it was 90 million, almost 100 million people in the Middle Passage. So what is the value of 6 million people in comparison to 100 million people? I would think that the 100 million people would get my attention more, even though I would be concerned about both sides, but at least you should say something about the 100 million people in the Middle Passage that has lost their life because of racism and white supremacy that was stealing them from Africa in the slave trade, even with the black Africans selling them or selling our ancestors out. So I believe that we're going to have to be fair about this thing called racism and white supremacy. We got to be fair about it and say that it's just not just white people who are like that, who are racist and like biased, because of whatever preconditions that they have made up their minds that the black people represent. there are black people and Chinese people and Mexican people and, you know, other Asian or other cultural groups who are just as racist against black people as is the Ku Klux Klan is, in terms of just the, give you an example of the extremity of it. Because the fact is that this country has gotten so cynical and so diabolical and has been for a long time operating very clandestine in that behavior, where that they would never talk about the things they were doing in real time. They would just only talk about it in private settings amongst themselves. And when they come out of their rooms, they continue with their wealth-building systems of slavery and gentrification, what is like, you know, stealing people's personal labor as free labor, as slaves, and then stealing people's personal land as the land that people had ownership of. And we're talking something that is like way back, and I'm talking about way forward right now. It's really a big issue, but no one is saying anything about it. So I believe that it's like people have given up on the struggle about helping black people. So if that's the case, then I'm going to ask you please to get out of my way and let us help ourselves. Now, we have God on our side, and we can prove that. You know, we can tell you that for 300 plus years, we were like totally erased as a cultural group, forgot our memory of our ancestral rights in Africa, or Kibilan, as it was known, Kibilan, and brought over here against our will. We didn't come on a willing basis. You know, this is called something like when you steal somebody's personal belongings and then you say it's yours. Our personal belongings was our bodies and our souls that were forced here to America's shores and put on lockdown to be slaves forevermore. Now, I am going to say that if we are human beings, and I'm talking to everybody who hears my voice, we cannot let this behavior of racism, white supremacy, continue to dominate our airwaves. And I'm getting really, you know, tired of seeing all the white images on TV. And I keep telling people, listen, what if these images were all black images and in your face 24/7, 365, how would you feel about black people? Well, the truth is the matter that people would go through the same process that of withdrawal as I'm having with the TV and the radio and all the social media. Everything is being expressed from a white perspective and never inclusive of the reality of what this country has as this diversity of people. Now, I don't mind people of diversity truthfully being shown in the highlights of TV, TV sitcoms or TV, shows that are that become series, or even the athletic games where they play games and have fun as a distraction to keep you from worrying about white supremacy and racism. You know, by playing the sports, they keep you all distracted, and then they could play the hocus pocus and remove your money from your pocket. Right. Now, what I am saying, though, is this, is that if we're going to be a country of equal opportunity, we have to even and level the playing field once again. Now, at one point, the playing field was level. Now it's kind of teeter-tottering where that the people who were the black ex-slaves in this country are finding it difficult to find ways to feed themselves through careers that we had held. And this includes a whole multitude of career areas, but I'm not going to go there right now. I want to change gears a bit with you and just let you know that this particular show is Life Success Radio, and it's being sponsored by Reality Books, owned by the great grandson of the Dr. Booker T. Washington, the historic pioneer founder of Tuskegee Normal, Tuskegee University in Alabama. Now, Reality Books is a blueprint book for success, analyzing the powerful words of wisdom that were expressed in the past by a lot of great black leaders, African-American leaders. I would suggest that, you know, we have to get a grip on who we are and start being real to situations. Okay, now this is a sidebar that hit me just now. I remember today a young lady who was on the bus, she's about 21 years old, and I was explaining to her, I says, "You're a very lovely young lady." I says, "I was hoping that you one day you get married and you find a good young man that's not from a bad bloodline." Now, when I said that, she kind of like looked at me sideways, and I explained to her, I says, "You know, bloodlines do affect behavior. Are you aware?" She says, "No." And she was kind of rude. I said, "Okay, well, now listen, I'm just trying to educate you something. But bloodlines do affect behavior. So you got to be careful as you grow up and decide to get married or even, you know, participate in sex casually, because you'll end up with, you know, some unwanted circumstance. And you have to understand that bloodlines do affect behavior. And that's something that you need to understand when you find a mate that is more balanced and more, you know, what you might say, open to being a friend to you and not treating you like garbage, like a lot of these young men do from the black community. I don't know why it's more us than anybody else that does that. Treat our women like garbage and treat the other women from the other cultures like angels, when really they don't really care about you no more than you care about yourself. Because if you are a young black man and you find a young black woman become your friend and your longtime spouse, as you grow up to recognize that you each have respect and concern for each other, then, you know, that's your best relationship, because it's easier with someone who's coming from your own struggle. But if you go and searching for that perfect white or Asian or other beauty standard that you've been socially conditioned by the TV to believe that is true love with this other kind of cultures, then you are really a victim of white supremacy and racism. Now, I tell you this, okay, I know there's a lot of beautiful people of all different colors, and I appreciate that. And I'm kind of confused why the Asian women take their eyes that are kind of slanted, look beauty to me, and they make them surgery, they round them out where the eyes look like almond eyes instead of like, you know, like regular Chinese or Japanese ladies' eyes. So what's happening, that's really a deep sign of racism, white supremacy, has taken over the minds of the Asian people. Because, you know, to go to get your surgery done on your eyes so they look more European, and you stop looking like a Japanese, now you look like, or Chinese, you start looking like weird, as far as I'm concerned. And so until people can be satisfied with who they are, we're going to have to go through this metamorphosis to find out who we are. Now, the human being is a very adaptable creature. Now, the adaptability comes through the toleration of what is being pushed there as a point of contention or a point of action that will force people in a certain direction as a status quo, or you might say assimilation. So the assimilation process in America is really influencing the world, where you got people from American culture who are in African culture like me, and then some are different colors here in America, but they don't see themselves as the what is called black people. They see themselves as other people. And I'm not talking other as just like, you know, something positive. I'm talking other in terms of somebody said that I'm not a black person. I'm not, you know, no Chinese person. I'm an American person. Well, American person, that's a fine thing to say, but you have a culture, and when you run away from your culture, you miss the beauty of your language that helps you to understand, the dynamics of communication within your own species who speak the same language. So you won't understand until you be yourself, just isolated with your own culture and lose that connection where you have nobody else to talk to. And then you'll start jibber-jabbing, searching for someone that speaks your language. And therefore, then you may not find them because at that point, everybody be assimilated to be Americans. Right? Now, I'm American. I love that. But I'm a Black American, and I love that. And I'm a human being, and I love that better. So we just got to put it on perspective and grow to the fullness of who we are. So I tell people, I say, what color are we as human beings? If you get an answer, can you please let me know? And because I ask that question because a lot of people are really kind of shallow when it comes to analyzing certain information that's spiritually grounded. Even though they say they go to church and so forth. But what I'm saying to you is that metaphorically, we all are not any particular color, metaphorically, because color in terms of how it relates to our soul and how the soul actually is given to us by God Almighty, and the color of our soul is, for those who are wise and understand, is totally colorless, like electricity. No, so the animation that gives you life is like electricity, or it is electricity, which is invisible in terms of color, because you can't really see it. If you look at a plug in the socket wall and you pull it out, you might see a spark, but if you put it back in there, no spark, but the current is flowing. Okay, so don't let people get you in a color game, and please avoid the color game as much as you can, because that's going to be the distraction that's going to take you away from integrating with your fellow men and women in the social reform responsibilities that we all have here in America. Because I know some of you see what's happening to Black people in America, and you're being really quiet like it's nothing happening. You are really implicit. You are implicit in a criminal activity of what you call when you actually destroy a whole race of people, and the term slips me, but it's like, okay, you are a mass murderer. You are a mass murderer in a very, very diabolical way, where you are helping to feed people that you don't want on this planet food that is not nutritious, and you are raising the medical cost beyond people's ability to have medicine. And when people go to hospitals kick them out if they don't have the health insurance. There's a whole lot of issues attached to this healthcare system of America that I believe we had in place when the President Barack Obama was there. But as soon as he left, people started moving to change all these health care laws that were put in place, and now you find people who are white more affected than people who are Black. See, the president elect former Barack Obama, he was very concerned with all people because, he comes from a white, and his father of Kenyan African Black. And then, he was raised in a white family of the mother's side and in Hawaii. And so he came out very, very mellow, kickback, and very intelligent and very communicative. And so he really didn't have a Black streak in him in terms of any ghetto, and I say that with respect because personally for me, I love the ghetto because there's people like Donny Hathaway that talked about the ghetto, the dun 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 dun. The ghetto, dun 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 dun. See, without the ghetto, we would not be cool as a culture. See, because Black Crew, just like Miles Davis had cool jazz, just like Michael Jackson had some cool dances, and like, you know, other people like Quincy Jones and others, you know, in the music genre, they know that the music of the soul, which comes from the drum, that comes from Africa, that's embodied in all the music, get up and shout and dance and hallelujah. Now, they use that in church to say hallelujah, and they use it at the parties to say, get down, you know, get down. Now, get down where? What are you talking about? Face down or what? But we say get down, to me, that's like, uh-oh, what's happening? Why I got to get on the ground? Now, when they tell you to get down, they really tell you to lay down on the ground and be nothing in your life. And that's what you got to do. You got to be very careful of the messages that come to you through the music. There's some good messages and there's a lot of bad messages, but you have to discern your wisdom to see the good and the bad and know how to, you know, not necessarily ignore it, but if it's that bad, cut it off and get away from it. So this is things you have to teach ourselves, especially you who are planning to be modern-day achievers. So I'm not sure if my caller has called in. Perhaps you have a different schedule change. That's okay. No problem. So perhaps next time we'll pull the young man in. But he told me he was kind of shy, so I understand. People are a little shy sometimes, and that doesn't make them scared, but it just makes them like you can't be shy about everything. And especially when you have someone who's going to look after your interests, what you have to do is participate, which brings me to another thing I want to say. Okay, now, I, in the last few months, have been working with the great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, right? And this gentleman has helped me so much, and I feel really obligated to, you know, reciprocate the help. But he tells me, he says, no, I'm going to help you. So you go out here and help the young people, and that's your job, and then I'm going to do my job, and don't worry about it. See, what that tells me, this is a very mature man that understands, I guess, the progression of leadership that needs to grow and takes responsibility to work to save the next generation, because every generation has a built-in system of leadership that's going to grow through to become the visionaries of the next generations. So I tell you like this, I'm a visionary, and I know it, and I never did know it until I was homeless for like 4 years in San Francisco, beginning October October 31st, that's when I left, and of course that was the morning of the 31st, so October 30, 31st is when I went homeless in 2012 for 4 years, and I just stopped being homeless after November 11th, 2016. So 4 years of being homeless taught me a big lesson, right? And that we think that we are in control, but we really are not. The fact is that there is a God that controls everything we think, we do, and we act on. Well, that's the same as do, but this source actually has what I call a live universe connection where the whole environment talks to you if you only have a mind or heart to listen. So what I would hope to do is encourage our young people to become the new leaders by accepting responsibility to be modern day achievers. Now, the thing that we're up against is there are a lot of other people who are fishing for fishes to put in their plate and eat them up in terms of their economic worth. So they will talk against the person growing to thinking independent. They want everybody to think dependent on the system of America as the only way to prosper. But that's not true, because historically there were people making money in, say, Black Wall Street era in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921. This is very historical date, June 1st, 1921. This was the day that America generals and the white people in the so-called white people in the Oklahoma area, they actually had a little proxy war that really was bigger than a proxy war. It actually dropped bombs from airplanes, airplanes, and burned down a black city. And that happened for a fact, but people still don't want to talk about it. So, again, we got to be very, very aware that some people really don't want to see black people prosper. And Black Wall Street, which is Tulsa, Oklahoma, was one good example in this in this time frame today that's not that far away, as I mentioned, June 21st, 1921. And there was over 6,000 people got killed black. And I'm sure the number of white people was not that great, but they had tried to forecast it was only like 300 people killed, but that's not true. It was actually over over 6,000, and it destroyed a black economic model that would have been something that we black people today would have economic wealth building equal or better than America Republican and American Democrat. We would have an equal or better economic system that comes from our own wealth building. So point is that we are having now to really look close as that. Do we keep following the course of people who really don't have our interest, or do we take an independent course and take advantage of the tax systems in America and say if we need to pay taxes, let's pay taxes and put the money towards something that we kind of designate ourselves as people who got big money do. They don't pay taxes. They kind of defer them through donating dollars that will be taxed to their favorite charities, even if it's their own family foundation fund. And so they continue to make money, 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 and they give the money to themselves to develop what is their internal family infrastructure, where they have nepotism, which is like, you know, hiring your family to work in your company. Nepotism becomes a reality of hiring white first and black last. Unless, of course, the family is more mulatto and they said, we are more mulatto than white, so we're going to hire you black because you fit in with this color scheme more than this pale white person who maybe is not like, you know, was not cool enough to be in the mix. So they kind of, you know, put them outside the door and say, you'll just be the door stopper. And that's a fact. That's just like reverse racism. And so sometimes white people never feel that pressure, but it's going to come a time that you're going to have to understand that you cannot take your mediocre intellectual short vision unguided spiritual consciousness to take advantage of people who God has blessed and make them your slaves again in the 21st century. That's over. Slavery's over. And I pray to God that you're understanding. You cannot force slavery on nobody except your own family. So no longer do you have control over the minds and hearts of black people who have woken up. Now, you may have control over those that maybe are drunk on alcohol, cigarettes that you make, and the other narcotics that you use to make people sick, but you say you're helping them get well. And I know what I'm talking about. You're talking about these pills you give people for arthritis and these other pills you give them for these other ailments. And what happened, it messes up their internal organs like livers and lungs and stomach, right? Even my mother, she died from that same thing, all right? So we're going to be very careful what we take from you. We're going to watch you take it first and see what it does to you, and we're going to do that over a period of time, and we're not going to be rushing in and following you no more because you've proven that you're not worth leadership of our commitment to follow you. At one point, we have been, I admit, you have some good leadership, that represented the bigger picture, right? But there's still some flaws in their total truth and honesty that they never told, that they were working together against the middle, and the middle was black people. So the North and the South were fighting war over who's going to maintain slavery and who is not going to maintain slavery. But still, just like the Democrat and Republican today, they do the same thing. They tell you, I'm a Republican and I'm a Democrat and we're different than the other guys. We're both us and we'll set you free. But both of them are the same people on the different sides of the coin. See, we keep getting hoodwinked and we keep getting like broadsided and we keep getting like, you know, what it's called, bought off to be representatives of that system by giving it credibility. And I won't mention Mr. Jesse Jackson. I won't mention what's the guy named, Dan Fike, James Brown, Mr. Al Sharpton. I won't mention you two, but, you know, the idea, they take our most public persons and they make them spokespersons indirectly for continuing this ideas of white supremacy and white racism, and black people participate in it wholeheartedly without telling the truth about it. Now, if you're going to do it, at least tell the truth about it. Say, listen, white supremacy is strong. The money is good, and I'm going to move you out of your neighborhood. But you don't tell us that truth. You just kind of act like it's not real. And you tell us, go sit down the corner, stick your thumb in a pie, and eat that plum off your thumb. You know, what's that, Jack Horner. So here's the point. If we're serious as black people, we're going to have to start doing things independently of everybody else. Everybody else have their own interest. And we culturally castrated away from our natural self. We're trained to look after everybody else's well-being and ignore ourselves. Now, that is a fact. Until we can stop helping other people and resources, money come back to ourselves, and we recycle those dollars and we put it back in place in our communities and neighborhoods to create a financial vacuum or financial engine, then we can rev up the economy and avoid gentrification. All right, you get what I just said? Right now, we are working opposite of preserving our communities for the sake of living there. We are actually what is called rushing our communities into despair and destruction by not standing up and being Americans, men and women who understand patriotic duty, who's not afraid to talk about what we need to do, because everybody else talk about what they need to do and you don't talk about you. So what do you talk about? You talk about helping white people. You talk about helping other people who are privileged skin color people that are like, you know, you perceive as powerful, and they really are not powerful. It's just that they had enough time to bank up money that they stole from you through legacy. They stole money from you through legacy. See, I believe there's a biblical something that talks about how the first son, how Isaac, which was the second son, tried to undermine his older brother, Ishmael, who was the first son of Abraham, and Isaac undermined his other brother so he can become anointed so-called leader, and that's the kind of behavior we have today in a lot of white people, right? They wanna act like they're the anointed people, and the black people are the ones who are disjointed and need to be thrown aside and put in jail and put on drugs and alcohol. And then they use the Bible to justify that by saying that Noah was drunk in his tent, and his son saw him naked, and then his Noah woke up and he cursed his son for a failure forever throughout his life. So yeah, listen, first of all, you and me, we cannot do any curse that will put a hex on anybody's life unless we feed them some poison, like what was done to Dr. Booker T. Washington when he was out there doing leadership. He was poisoned by, I believe it was some black ministers who were jealous of his having the ability to know how to communicate, and the black preachers were just on the idea of celebrating Jesus as a white man and celebrating the fact that they could they can get fed from the crumbs from the master's table instead of having their own, like Booker T. Washington talked about. So these black preachers got jealous, and they I'm sure they conspired against them, and nothing happened. And I guess my point is this, is that until we can accept responsibility to be like every other grown-up who is a human being, grown-up, you know, they know how to take care of themselves, and they practice it by saving money and learning wealth system designs to ensure they have enough money to last them for a lifetime, and they have projections that they plan and activities they do. And when we look at our community as a group of people called the Negroes or the Negro-niece, like the Chinese, the Negro-niece, or the Vietnamese, like the Negro-niece, the Negro-niece, which is the black people who want to be everybody else except themselves, have no plan of action. So they're just a blow with the wind, and anything goes, even giving away the firstborn child as a metaphor to being accepted by white supremacy. Now, okay, this is really deep. Have you heard of Boule? Boule. I think the Boule is a group of like people who call themselves the Illuminati by different kind of names, but Boule in California, they have this festival every year called the Boule Festival, and where they have all this homosexual stuff jumping off. So the homosexual activity do Boule, they get the black men to be the homosexual girls in the relationship, and then they blackmail them for the rest of their life that they rolled their butt at the Boule Festival, and now you owe me, because if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to expose these pictures that I took of you at Boule giving your boudet. All right? Now, so that's like something that we got to be really aware of. A lot of these black leaders, some of them are so creepy, they're creepy crawlers, and you don't know they're crawling creepy until you find out that they're not being committed to helping you or me as black people, because they've been given an order by the Illuminati or the Boule or whoever has the control of their lives, all right? So I guess what I want to say to you is this. Black people, I love you with all my heart and soul, and I have a mandate. Every time I walk past a black person, I don't care who they are, I say to them, I love you. I say, assalamu alaikum. I say, God's peace and blessings to you. I say, are you alive? Are you doing okay? I really inquire, because, you know, black people don't talk enough to each other. We talk at each other when we're arguing, but we very rarely talk to each other in intelligent conversation. And we have to change this, because our young people are watching what we do, and they will imitate what we do, not what we say we want them to do. So it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it, and the children, they can see through that very easily. So they're watching what you do, not what you say. So understand, Boule. Boule is something that is negative, and it gets a lot of our so-called political leaders caught up in the homosexual activity of the people, men, trying to be women, and doing favors for political purposes, but really losing their manhood and spiritual connections with God. So therefore, they must be working for the devil. That's my deduction or deduction as I surmise my winding down for this particular day. Now, okay, so listen, tomorrow we're going to have Leonard Scott, my former baseball player, Little League, and grew up in my community, or our community, Palo Alto. And so he'll be on tomorrow, and we'll certainly make sure that we have in the future the combination of different speakers that we're going to have present whatever they want to present related to how they can help young people avoid gentrification, avoid early death from street violence. How can they avoid becoming alcoholic and drug addicts? How can they avoid racism, white supremacy? How can they benefit from finding a wife, a young lady to be their spouse for a lifetime? How they can learn how to eat more healthier with electric foods. How also to drink water that would give them nutrients and preventative health. That is what it calls. Excuse me for a second. We're talking food, water that has non-alkaline water, which doesn't allow germs to grow inside, which actually when you drink it, it helps to eliminate the germs in your body, your system. So there's a whole lot of things that we have to teach our children. And I just want to let you know that I'm up for the cause. I'm ready for the deal. I'm not afraid of losing anything because if you start from zero and you have nothing to lose, and if you start from, say, having a whole lot of resource money, then you may have a lot to lose. But for me, it's not a lot to lose. What it is, I'm seeking God's blessing so he can open doors and give me what he promised me, as I said in my prayer to him or to the source of love and power. I plan and I want to be a trillionaire. And so I know I heard God, or at least something inside my head said, I've heard your wish, little man. Keep being faithful, and you're going to get your wish. So this show here is Life Success Radio, and we actually come on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And this show is sponsored by, we call it Reality Books, the publisher company that published the book Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. And that book is certainly something that I would recommend everybody get to catch up on the history historically of the things that were said in the not too distant past. You know, Frederick Douglass talking about July 4th and it's not being compatible with us and freedom as during that time when it was done, black people were still slaves. So it kind of straightened up certain things to help you think differently. And so we actually enjoy the sponsorship and we appreciate. And so there's going to be a conference call coming up on a Sunday at 12 noon, Central Standard Time. You want to dial 641-715-0700. That's 641-715-0700, and you want to put the PIN number in of 294-536 pound. The PIN number again, repeat, is 294-536 pound. And there you'll come on to a phone discussion that I'll be managing. And we actually are organizing a rethink think tank called Urban Business Consulting Network. And we are addressing things that are taking the communities away from black people, and we know we have enough mind power to reverse the curse, and with your help, we know we will win. So tune in, all right? So I'm going to depart. It's like almost 7, so I'm going to depart, and I'm going to say to you something, song that I had written, and this I've been using this, and I think I'm going to use it forever, so I'm going to say it in just straight English, and hopefully you can appreciate it. And here it goes. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally realized that I needed something more. I turned to God, the creator of the heavens and the universe, and I prayed the creator open up the door. The first thing God did is to make me strong, and now I know that I belong on earth so I can give a little more. That's why he opened up the door. It's peace on all of us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth. He made the sun. He made us all to grow as one. We have to save our children. We have to save our children. We have to save our children. So tell the truth that our Creator is one. Our Creator is indivisible and invisible, as He is the maker of everything that's matter. He's outside of matter. He's outside of space and time. He's beyond our mind of even imagining. So never put God under a glass, like a pheasant under glass, right? He can't do that. He's too powerful. And all you do is make yourself look really ignorant to people who really know. So, in any event, I say to you, until tomorrow, assalamu alaikum.
And now a brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you.